Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Paul Douglas back with you. Hope your Friday is going well. Jordana joining us virtually, and hopefully she'll be live for happy hour coming up in about 45 minutes. Be good to hear her voice. A lot of us going through a lot of stuff here the last couple of years with the pandemic, and it just seems like layer after layer. And it's been hard for everybody. It's been especially tough for teenagers. An article at The Atlantic caught our attention. Here's a quote. The U.S. is experiencing an extreme teenage mental health crisis. Between 2009 and 2021, the share of American high school students who say they feel persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness rose from 26% to 44%, according to a CDC study. That's the highest level of teen sadness ever recorded. We wanted an inside look at teenage mental health, so we asked Jordana to tape an interview with her youngest daughter, Ruby.
I happen to own three teenagers, 19, 16, and 14, so I figured I would go to one of them to talk about this study. Ruby is my 14-year-old, and she's joining me now. Hi, baby.
Hello.
And I know you've read this piece in The Atlantic because I sent it to you. So let me ask you about your experience being an American teenager. The study, you know, the article says that 44% of American high school students say they persistently feel sad or hopeless. That's almost half the kids in high school. Would you say that half of your friends feel this persistent feeling of sadness or hopelessness?
I don't know about half, but I would agree that a large amount. Specifically my friends, again, I wouldn't completely half of them, but I do have a lot of friends that have felt this way.
Do you?
I don't, thank God. Like, I've had feelings where, like, I'm doing schoolwork and I'm like, God, like, I really don't want to do this. Like, you know, like stuff like when you feel kind of hopeless, when you just are really not feeling it. I felt that way, but I think anyone could say that.
What about this stat that says more than 1 in 4 girls reported they had seriously contemplated suicide during the pandemic? Was it worse a year or two ago, or what do you think about that?
I think it definitely depends on the person, because I know a lot of people found it really hard during the pandemic to, like, get a good social, like, have a nice social life, you know, a constant group of friends, like, all that. So that does make sense to me why that amount of people felt that way during the pandemic. But then again, there's people that like to be alone or like to be more relaxed, like, down-to-earth people. I know that they felt better, but there was a good amount of people that didn't.
One of the reasons they give for this increased depression or sadness is social media use. sometimes it can enhance social situations, but it can also lead to a dependency and a lack of real friendships. What do you think about that?
I completely agree with that. In the article, they compared it to alcohol. Sometimes it, like you said, enhances social situations, and sometimes it becomes a dependency. And I thought that was a fantastic analogy, because that is exactly how it's looked at from basically everyone. I completely understand why it could be more like depressing for people, because you do a lot of comparing on social media. You know, why don't I look like her? Oh, this person looks like they have such a cool life. Like, why am I not like that? But then again, it's supposed to be fun.
What do I always tell you about comparison?
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Mm-hmm.
completely agree with what the article had to say about social media.
Okay, but it also reports that a third of teen girls say they can't stop logging on. Do you feel that way too? Do you feel FOMO?
You know, I kind of do. It might be kind of a FOMO thing, fear of missing out. I like to look at it in the fun way.
Okay.
Though when I do post, I do get like very anxious.
How so? Explain that more to us.
Social media is really based on how people look at you. That's like the point of it, is for other people to look at you based on your profile. It's like the same way you would get scared, like going up in front of a bunch of people. You're like showing your life, and some people might find it weird or don't think you look good or whatever it is. I do understand the not wanting to log off. I get that same feeling, because it's very fun to have and it keeps you in the loop and all that. But it's, you know, the thief of joy, like you said, sometimes.
And this is the first time I'm hearing you say this, that sometimes when you post, you're worried about people's comments. Maybe
not necessarily comments. Oh. I've never gotten like a mean comment. I know many people have, but personally, I just haven't, like, I don't have like a platform for that, like anything like that, you know? It's just like what people think or like what people might be saying.
The article also cited that the world is very stressful now. I mean, it was you who alerted me to the fact that you were watching this war in Ukraine on TikTok.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's too many of these images, or the world stress that maybe teenagers shouldn't be preoccupied, invading your personal space?
I mean, I think there's like a little bit that's kind of extreme. Like, we don't really need to be so like involved in it. But then again, I think it's really important to educate teens about it.
Okay.
So I think it's important that we know, though there is like a lot going on, and a lot of teens like think they know so much about situations that they don't know about. And it kind of like drives other teens to be involved. I know there's been like a lot of like phases on like Instagram where everyone posts the same like three infographics about like a topic they know nothing about. Like, sorry, like I mean not to offend anyone that's not targeted, but it's just like everyone posts about it because they feel like they should be involved, they should use the platform for the better.
If they don't post, it feels like they're not being an activist, and people are wondering why they're opting out, and, well, don't they care about the war or the environment? You
exactly.
feel pressure, like,
so it's that? Like, it's like kind of pressuring when there's all that going around social media.
Do you feel that there's more pressure from external sources like social media or the world, or do you feel the pressure is coming from parents?
I think it's a good mixture. And going back to that, like, depending on what kind of person you are, because a lot of people take like social media and all that kind of stuff way more seriously than than what their parents think of them. And sometimes it's the other way around. But I do completely understand like where people are coming from when they say that like their parents are pressuring them, or that's the reason they have anxiety. And that definitely makes sense.
Oh God, we're on the radio. You can tell me, am I pressuring you too much?
No.
Before I let you go, I know you're only 14, but do you have any advice for parents if maybe they're feeling like their teen might be depressed or sad?
I would just say, like, be very open, be accepting. Like, don't create this, like, plan for your kid to make them think that, like, don't make your kid think that they have to do specific things or they should be to a specific standard. I think it really helps when you know your parents are accepting and they'll be open to new ideas, and they'll love you no matter what. I think that's really important, because some people, like, when their parents create this persona for them to follow, they rebel against that completely just to like prove them wrong. Because like when your parents treat you badly, it makes you not want to listen to them.
All right, that was Jordana and her youngest daughter, Ruby. And following up on that, Dr. Tali Vang, a psychologist from Hennepin Healthcare, is going to be talking about teens and mental health what you need to know when we come right back.
Yeah, it's a fitting tune. Crazy nights. Yeah, you know.
It is crazy, especially when you're a teenager. But that last segment that Jordana interviewing Ruby, it really highlighted the extra pressures. And it's, you know, it's a myriad of issues. I mean, the pandemic added insult to injury, but the injury was already there with social media, having a real life and having a virtual online life and being, you know, tending to both. So much more complicated than I remember when I was a teen. Listen to this. The CDC study that is highlighted in this Atlantic article, almost 8,000 high school students, first 6 months of last year, more than one in four girls reported that they had seriously contemplated suicide during the pandemic. Twice the rate of boys. Nearly half of LGBTQ teens said they had contemplated suicide during the pandemic. Half, compared with 14% of their heterosexual peers. Sadness among white teens seems to be rising faster than among other groups. With us to try to make sense out of this and answer and a potentially unanswerable question, what do we do about it, is psychologist Dr. Tali Vang from Hennepin Healthcare. So great to have you back on the air, Dr. Vang. Thank you and welcome back.
Thank you. And I've missed you all.
Have
I'm
you
so
really?
Glad to be here.
Especially
yes,
Jordana. That's sweet of you. Thank you. And, you know, you read these studies and you just shake your head. And look, my kids now are in their low 30s and they had the wind knocked out of them by the pandemic and by everything else, you know, the last couple of years. But for teens, it's extra tough. I mean, the isolation during the pandemic, magnified by social media. Do you see this in your practice, Dr. Vang?
Yeah, and I really appreciate the point that you made earlier about how this was already a trend that we were seeing in our adolescent youth, even before the pandemic. I remember statistics started to come out about how we were having children as young as 10 and 9 attempting suicide. It's heartbreaking when you think about that. And so this was already starting to trend, and the pandemic most certainly exacerbated that. And so this is rampant. And when we think about teenage years, that's where a lot of the socialization really comes in, and our peers become very important to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, everybody wants a silver bullet, an explanation, and that would be great if there was a silver bullet. It seems to me that there's plenty of silver buckshot. Derek Thompson wrote something, and I just want to share this because it really brought this home to me. The world is overwhelming. An inescapably negative news cycle creates an atmosphere of existential gloom, not just for teens, but also their moms and dads. The more overwhelming the world feels to parents, the more they may try to bubble wrap their kids with accommodations. Over time, this protective parenting style deprives children of the emotional resilience they need to handle the world's stresses. I mean, to me, that spoke to me. You know, are we overly pampering our kids, and do they not have the skills that they need to weather these stresses? What do you make of that?
You know, I have several thoughts about that, actually, Paul, and that is such a great point. The world, so one of my thoughts, the world is incredibly scary, but it's impossible for us as parents to protect our children from all of the things that could possibly go wrong. And so if we were to approach raising our children, our teenagers in this way, we wouldn't be setting them up for success. Instead, what we find is one of the better things to do is to teach our children how to repair, how to recover, how to rebuild. Mm-hmm. And a key ingredient to doing that is really to create a sense of security at their home base. Home base can be anywhere. So I just want to make that clear, right? It could be anywhere that is safe and supportive for children with in the context of having an adult. It could be parents, grandparents, family, teachers even. But if a child, a teenager, can feel like they have a safe home base, then they know that they are loved. Then they know that they are good, good people. And when they go out into the world and they experience something scary or something difficult, they can always go back to knowing, right, that can be feeling rooted. So that's one thing that we can do as parents. Now, I find that a mistake that we oftentimes make in this society, and this visual was actually provided, given to me by a very wise professor, is we tend to raise our children in a way that is kind of like an inverted triangle. And what I mean by that is, if you think about a triangle, and if you were to kind of flip it on its head, oftentimes what we do is we enact, think about a triangle, right? Just a triangle. What we tend to do in this society is we tend to give a lot of freedom and a lot of leeway to our children when they're young. We give them second chances. We don't have many boundaries. But it's when they're getting older into their teenage years when we start to restrict and we start to put a lot more rules and boundaries. But that we should be doing that opposite. We should be inverting that triangle where, as children, we give them more rules, we give them more boundaries, we give them more routine. And as they get older, we loosen up, we give them more trust. That way of when we envision this way of parenting, it creates a sense of competence, it creates a sense of confidence, and it teaches them that we trust them. And so by doing that, right, we're setting the boundaries early, we're setting the expectations early. So that's another thing that we can certainly do that can really, really help us. Lastly, I'll just say, children are very, very perceptive, even at very young ages. And so sometimes the issue is, even though they're very perceptive and very smart, they may not have the words to describe what they're going through, what they're thinking. And so as parents, as adults, we can help them find the words to describe their experiences. And this can help them de-escalate if they are upset or frustrated, but it also can build trust with teenagers to be able to accurately kind of convey what the teenager is feeling. Related to this, to children being very perceptive, is if we as parents are very anxious and we kind of bubble wrap our children, like you mentioned, then sometimes if they're feeling sad, they may want to protect us. They may not want to come tell us that they're feeling sad because they don't want to add to our burden. So that's something that we should be mindful of too.
Huh. I'm just glad I grew up without social media. I was a free-range kid. My parents just set me loose on my bike, and I'd go up, you know, hang out with friends and try not to get into trouble. But and I know, you know, social media gets much of the blame, and maybe it's not warranted. But, you know, it especially when it comes to teenage girls, you know, it can often make them feel worse about their body, make them feel worse about their life. It can disrupt sleep patterns. And then you got the global pandemic and a period of isolation, and suddenly teenage sadness doesn't feel all that mysterious. I mean, should parents put a limit on social media, or is that an act of futility?
Oh, that's a really good question. And I think that's at the heart of many, many conversations between parents. I think that there's many layers to it. So there is definitely the imagery, right, or this expectation that is set because of what we see posted and the things that we don't see. We don't know what's going on in people's lives for real. There is definitely that, and I think there is a standard that especially teenage girls can hold themselves up against. However, there's the other layers to that, too, is you mentioned you might just jump on your bike. We also know that exercise helps really deter like depression and sadness. And we're missing out on that too. So the sedentary lifestyle is contributing to the sadness in addition to that, to that comparison that can naturally happen. And something about the way that social media operates is like kind of this gamification of how many likes do you have? How many followers do you have? There's also the feel good chemicals get released in our brains when we get enough followers or likes, that it's also playing a role in this too. So I think limiting it is important. And talking about having open conversations with our teenagers about these factors can help them understand, and so that they don't rebel against it, right? So they can feel empowered.
Absolutely. Great advice. Dr. Tali Vang, psychologist extraordinaire at Hennepin Healthcare, thank you for joining us today. Have a great weekend, and thank you for chiming in.
Thank you.
You bet.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.